All right, Carl, you're on KFGO with the mechanics, please.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, Carl. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got a 2005 Chrysler 300, and when the gas gauge gets down to where you have to refill, we're experiencing when we open the gas cover, fill it, and then the engine will, when you start it, restart it, the engine will die about three or four times before it'll continue to or stay running. And it only happens when we fill the tank, and like the next day, it never happens after that, but just as you fill it.
It seems like a pretty strange symptom there. I would lean towards a problem with the fuel pressure, and that I don't know why the filling of the tank would make any difference there. But for some reason, that it must be low on fuel pressure when it gets filled up and after it's shut down. And so the first thing to do is when it's low somewhere, take it into a shop, know that they're going to fill it up with gas with a fuel pressure gauge on it, and watch to see what happens to see if this is true, and then we can go forward. I would expect that we have some kind of a fuel pressure problem relating to a pump or a restriction, but certainly that would be the cause and the case to get it diagnosed, is to take it to a shop, low on fuel, let them fill it up, and watch the fuel pressure.
Have you ever tried to fill it at a half a tank and see if what happens?
Same symptom.
Okay, so no matter when you fill it.
Yep.
So it doesn't have to be full.
Right.
Hmm. No, it'll run, I've never filled it at a quarter of a tank down, but I have filled it at half tank, and it would be the same symptom.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you, Carl.
I don't know. Something's going on there that... Unless some vent line or something is putting fuel where you don't want it. That's the only other thing I could think of here.
Let us know what you find out, Carl. That's interesting. Hi, Rory. You are on with the mechanics on KFGO.
Hi, guys.
Morning.
Hey, I have a 2011 Ford F-150 3.5 V6 EcoBoost. And what happens as you're driving down the road, you're fine, but if you step her down, it'll... goes into a wicked misfire. And I mean, it will misfire on cylinders 4, 3, 2, 1, it don't matter. And I went and yesterday I went and pulled all the plug coils off, blew them out, cleaned everything off. They're saying there's some moisture problem and stuff. Well, it's bluebird day like this, and I can go and do the same doggone thing. And I'm not having any luck with the Ford dealership and whatever. So what do you guys think?
Well, it's certainly having EcoBoost problems. We're starting to see those trucks come in with problems with misfire. And if you're in the throttle at all, they go into almost a power management mode where they miss all over the place. We need to get to somewhere that has a scan tool that can watch the misfires and see exactly which ones are misfiring first, and then the next step would be to start switching coils around to see if we can start moving the misfire. Then we could go forward and start to get to the bottom of your problem.
Boy, both those calls sound like calls you might hear on George Norrie's all-night show, Coast to Coast. Wow. Thank you, Roy. And Jim, hang in there. Your turn is next. You're next in line.
Jim, one, you're on KFGO with the mechanics.
Yes. A couple questions ago, you were dealing with the gas pressure problem. I've got a 99 half-ton Chevy pickup, and I have had this vibration in it, and they claim it's in the fuel line, and they say it's the pressure regulator. I've had 5 put on so far, and I still have the vibration. Do you think it's a more serious problem than that?
I guess Bruce is getting ready to answer, too, but I don't think your vibration has to do with the fuel pressure regulator.
And where are you buying these fuel pressure regulators?
At General Motors.
Yep. Go buy one from a different place that doesn't say GM on it. There is a huge batch of fuel pressure regulators that cause the weirdest vibration you ever saw. Mm-hmm. So buy one that says some other brand on it, not GM, and put it in there, and it'll be over.
Okay, I'll try that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I thought you had another question.
Thank you, Jim. Here's a quick text. My gas vent line was clogged with dirt on the gas tank, guys. I had that same problem on an 04 Malibu.
And did he say what kind of car this was?
My gas vent line was clogged with dirt on the gas tank.
04 Malibu.
I had that same problem on an 04 Malibu.
Well, anyway, we're seeing lots of vent problems where they're getting clogged with dirt, especially last summer before it was wet, when it was dry and they drive on a lot of gravel. And the bad thing about this getting clogged is two things. The first thing is that sometimes it'll be hard to fill, and the second thing is that it could collapse the gas tank. So what a lot of aftermarket places are doing is changing the location where it intakes the air on this vent.
Okay, very good. Jim, you're on KFGO with the mechanics.
Well, good morning. I've got a 1987 4.9 Ford Farm Van six-cylinder, and sometime it goes on fast idle. You've got to shut it off a couple times, then it'll go back to slow idle. Is there something I can fix myself, some sensor or something?
That's carbureted, correct?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, what you got to do is if it sticks on fast idle, you got to check that flap on top of your carburetor.
Oh, I think this is an injection one already.
84.
And if it is injected, there should be an idle air control motor on the top of the motor there, and there's a little pintle in there that can stick. So if you can check that. You'll have to take the idle air off and then run that back and forth and see if it actually functions correctly.
Thank you for that call. By the way, we got another text here. I have a new truck with a big motor. Every time I fill my gas tank, my bank account goes way down. What could be the problem? We'll be back with more of your texts and calls on the mechanics on KMGO.
She has an 05 Jeep Liberty, and she claims that when she drives it, the RPMs will rev up before it will shift into gear sometimes, and it kind of comes and goes. And had it looked at, but they didn't see anything wrong with it at the time. The fluid looked good, smelled good. Just wondering what your thoughts are.
Well, the first thing on whenever these problems are intermittent is that someone has to see it happen. So get somewhere where you trust them and leave it overnight and have them test it a few times to try to figure out exactly what's happening. Hopefully your daughter can describe it right to a T. Usually they're very good at that, and we can get to the bottom of it, you know, whether you choose Ron or I or someone else. I know that it's very hard to be away from your car when you live somewhere else, but I know at our shop we do a lot of that counseling for parents with cars that aren't at home.
Ask Ron if he'll do some dog or trade some training for it.
Yeah, I've been out of the dog business for a while.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. Here's a listener question. I have a 2001 Mitsubishi Diamante. It idles fast and sometimes idles normally. What could this be?
Well, a lot of things on fast idle on these, on all kinds of cars now because of the computer inputs that are going on there. And so certainly have to catch this idling fast. And with a scan tool, you should be able to see what's happening. Of course, the normal things in the world that cause fast idle, the first thing that comes to mind, if you have a vacuum leak, it could be as simple as a cracked hose or maybe an intake gasket leaking. And from there, idle air actuators and throttle position sensors would be other things that would lead you down a fast idle a trek.
Thank you. How about Bill? You have a question for our mechanics here on KFGO?
You bet. Hey, 1999 Powell 5.7. It was running fine. Pulled it up by the hose. Shut it off the next morning. It was kind of cold. I went to fire it up, and it backfired. And now it seems like it's out of time. Is that plastic gear on the bottom of the distributor that broke?
I doubt the distributor. I wouldn't even think the distributor has a plastic gear there. But if it did backfire and it never ran again, certainly the timing chain could have jumped on that and certainly get it up to top dead center and see where the because it should have a distributor, I would think, on that 1999 Tata with a rotor. You should be able to see where it's pointing and know whether or not that is a culprit.
Timing chain's always the kind of news you want to hear. All right. Thank you, guys. Hang in there. We have a few more people.
Caller standing by for the mechanics on 790 KFGO. And Ron Saar is here, and Bruce Beckris. Before we get to Bob and Jerry, Ron Saar, I just have to thank your dad again, Alex Saar, for dropping off. Someone dropped off Memoirs of a B-24 Bomber Veteran in World War II. You said that, what, he's made and sold about 5,000 copies of these already?
Yeah, it just started out, they had 100 copies made, and it just got so popular. He sent them to Washington, D.C., where there was a big fire, and a lot of that World War II was, it's kind of an amazing deal, because he wrote down every mission on a napkin, and just kept them all the years. And then my cousin, who was a school principal, sat down with him for a few days and wrote this book. And it's got every single mission he flew. And, you know, these bombardiers and these people that flew these planes, I mean, he's actually lucky to be alive. He's lucky to be my dad.
Well, thank you. And thanks to Al once again. Hey, let's get back to work. Bob, you're on KFGO.
Do these sprays that you spray on tires to protect them from the sun, do they actually have any effect on tires?
Go ahead, John.
Oh, I don't know. I just, you know, I see the ads on TV and places that do decal work and stuff like that. I think if you get, you know, you get some of the crud and get them all cleaned up, I mean, some of these sprays are supposed to last for up to 6 months. So I would say it definitely would help, but to what degree, I'm not actually sure.
They can't be do something harmful to the tires, like
things
can do to your dashboards.
No, it's like the sprays you use in your dashboards and stuff to clean them up and that, and it puts a coating on them, and they're supposed to last for several washes and that, but I mean, unless the car is sitting a long time, I don't know if it's really necessary.
Thanks, Bob. How about you, Jerry? What can the mechanics do for you today on KFGO?
Hey, guys. I have a 2001 Astro van. I've taken it into a couple auto parts store and had it coded for a bad map sensor. I've changed out the map sensor, and I've checked for vacuum light. And the light is still on, and it still codes a bad map sensor. What else can I look at before I bring it in?
Well, if you've checked for vacuum leaks and you've checked for the map sensors, I don't really know what else you're going to check yourself there.
Yeah.
The thing is does it set the map sensor code right when you turn the key on?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So that's a hard code. And so that is, in my opinion, when you have a hard code, it's more of an electrical problem. And if you've replaced the map sensor, then I would start doing pin checks from the reading at the map sensor and at the computer through a wiring diagram to understand, is the reading the same at the other end of the wire?
Okay, so it'd be probably a cut or a short in some wire somewhere then.
Certainly that, or okay. If that's perfect, bad PCM, powertrain okay. Control module.
All right, thank you very much. Here's a text we received. You can always text us here on the Mechanic Show at 35270. Person has a 2000 Taurus. Ford dealer says it needs a cam sensor. Car squeals when there is dampness, and I was told that the bearings are bad. What should happen to the car if it quit suddenly? What would happen to the car if it quit suddenly?
Well, the squealing, squawking noise is certainly a problem with the cam tensioner, and I'm trying to remember what it – there's a piece under the cam sensor that goes down where the distributor shaft goes. And those two pieces go bad, and they squeak like a devil. And so that's a very, very common thing. And usually they don't make the car stop. They just drive you crazy. And what I was thinking of is it's called the cam synchronizer.
The cam synchronizer.
That's what it's called that goes under the cam sensor that squeaks.
All right, let me just double check. I got an email, but I could have been on the phone, a 2011 Mazda 6. Did you guys talk about that?
Yeah.
All right. When I accelerate, the car temporarily hesitates as if it's not getting gas. I've brought it into the dealership and they cannot find the problem. It does not happen all the time. Can you help me again? It's a 2011 Mazda 6.
Well, certainly when you have a hesitation situation there, the first thing we need to do is duplicate this and then start looking at sensors on why it hesitates. Probably the first thing that would come to mind is to seriously watch what's called mass airflow sensor, which measures the air going into the motor, which has to do with everything, your fuel injection, your timing, all of those things run off of this. So those types of things have to be checked and duplicate the problem.
Okay, very good. And Mike, you're on KFGO with Ron and Bruce. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I got a 02 PT Cruiser that I bought. And the lady that I bought it from says that once in a while when you put it in drive, that it doesn't do anything. But when you put it in three, it drives just fine, shifts just fine. Hmm. Your thoughts on that?
Well, a PT Cruiser is a situation where it has a transmission that really doesn't allow it to shift. And so when it's delayed shift, the first thing that comes to mind is that it's low in fluid. If it sits there very long at all, it should put the transmission into a fail-safe mode, and then for the continuation of that key cycle, it should always be in second. Changing to a different range certainly could make it take off better, but it's surprising that it doesn't go into fail-safe mode.
Okay. So is that something that would be electrical or mechanical in the transmission itself?
In the beginning of this, check the fluid. If it goes into fail-safe, it will set a code, and then it'll lead you down a road on where you have to go.
The mechanics are in on KFGO. Steve, you're on with Bruce and
Ron.
And Ron. Excuse me. Ron. Go ahead, Steve.
Good morning. See, I've got a 1996 Thunderbird, and I parked it in a parking lot one day, and about a half an hour later came out again, and I could not get the shifter out of park after monkeying with the ignition switch and the push button on the side of the floor shifter. A bunch of times I finally did get it out, but I still dare even put it back in again. The idea is on that.
Brake switch. First place to go is something happened to the brake switch. See if the brake lights work. That triggers the solenoid to make it come out of park. So the very first place to go is brake switch. Very common thing, especially on Ford vehicles. And if you turn the switch to the first notch, you should always be able to pull out of park before the lights come on, but off the lock position. If you turn it to the first notch, you should be able to pull it out because that disables the brake switch.
All right, there we go. Thank you, Steve. We have open lines if you'd like to get in. In fact, this is the first time we haven't had callers. Let's talk about some of the basics like wiper blades and washer fluid as we move into the spring season, gentlemen.
Yeah, that's basic. You know, in the wintertime, we always talk about winter blades, but in the summertime, you just want to put on regular wiper blades. They just adhere to the window better as you're going down the road. Just make sure your windshield washer's full. I mean, it's, you know, we start getting this damp weather now, and there's a lot of debris on the roads, and somebody passes you, and your windshield gets full, so both of those are pretty basic.
What are some of the basic spring maintenance things we should be taking care of? I would think changing your engine oil would be right off the bat.
Changing oil. If you got snow tires on, they're getting real close to being taken off now. The studded ones, not the regular ones. Usually when you have it into a shop, you know, your guy can do like a spring tune-up and check the brakes. I mean, these roads are just terrible. The front ends have got to be looked at. I know my wife and I took a little trip this weekend just around Barnesville and Sabin in that area. And my advice is stay on the interstates, stay on the well-traveled roads because it's getting bad.
What are your phone numbers, please, Ron?
293-1918.
And Bruce Beckris?
233-6161.
Thank you both very much. Ron Sarr, Sarr Sudden Service. Bruce Beckris, A1 Automotive Transmission Service. Thanks, guys. Enjoy this weather.
Thank you.